Hello, friends. Brett here. On today's show, a different use for wasabi, 3D Pompeian porn, your man Bill gets a ride, gray whales, and reef stuff. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on, what say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world. You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Bound. Yeah.
I guess I should push this button. I should push that button.
Push the button.
And bring this button.
Push the button, buddy.
Push the button. Push the button now. Click, 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 click. Hey, you're listening to Two Beers In.
Hey.
A podcast where we enjoy libations and lie while sitting in stations. I don't know. I was trying something different.
This is a really inopportune time to have an aneurysm.
I just love that Monica's looking at me like, what? What?
What? What? Did you just go into hexametric poetry?
Oh, you wanted to throw that out there before we even. Well, more on that later.
Yes.
Hi, I am Brett. I am one of your hosts. I'm enjoying 1.5 gin and tonics with a splash of Angostura bitters.
Uh-huh. I'm Monica Ballard, your other host. And I'm enjoying pineapple and rum.
Oh, you've been wanting that.
Yes. Well, he finally got the pineapple juice. Thank you, Mr. Bartender.
Thank you. Oh, he's not over there anymore.
For doing
Wait,
your
the place
job.
Is empty. Where did everybody go?
Oh, my God.
Was there a fire? And we didn't know. Are we dead
It's
now?
Not like that meetup.
Well, this like would that, be the right bar
like
for it.
Like Dave, when he showed up with that meetup group.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
And 2 weeks ago, it was a crowd.
Doug here.
And that's Doug over there.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm Doug. I have an old fashioned this time. I'm trying to mix it up so it doesn't sound like I have the same thing over and over.
Meanwhile, I'm having the
same thing over and over.
And yes. None of us are having beers.
Mm-mm. Nope.
We just want to make that clear. Yeah, the title is Two Beers In.
Yep.
But still,
it just sounds better than two drinks.
Oh, that's what you were talking about with the lying.
Okay. Yes, that's part of that's why we lie.
Because we're not having beers.
It's beautiful outside.
Yes.
There's traffic in one certain area of the city.
Yep.
There are blue things everywhere.
Blue things.
Blue things. Bloops,
yes.
as
Bloops.
We call them. Bloops.
Bloops.
Went to Houston this weekend, and I ate all. It's speaking of good news.
Yes.
I ate all great things this weekend.
I want to hear more about that on the Patreon.
We'll
episode.
Talk about it on the Patreon, but I just
and
wanted
I will
to put
tell
it
you
here.
About my adventure to Galveston.
That's what we're going to talk about on the Patreon.
Ah, great.
And Doug will sit there and tell us about his EU4 game thing that he did this weekend and every weekend.
I thought you were going to take part in the food adventure and the food safari.
No, Doug's it's no, wasted I would. On him.
Oh. Ouch.
What's going on? I'm feeling attacked.
Oh, my God. It's beat up on Doug Day.
Yep.
Yeah. You thought it was Pie Day. It's
nope,
not Pie Day. It's beat up on Doug
it's
Day.
It's beat up on Doug Day. More on that later. Let's start with the first thing.
Sure.
Wasabi can be used as eco-friendly preservative tool for the ancient knowledge contained in papyrus.
You said words.
Wow, that's quite a...
That's almost like I could stop there and we could just move on to the next thing.
No. People need to hear about this.
This is very interesting. So papyrus, if you don't know, is not just the font that they use in the Avatar movies. It is actually an old way of making paper.
By the way, papyrus, also the font used on signage in downtown Austin.
Really?
Leading everyone to believe downtown Austin is much older.
Much older.
than it actually is.
Yeah, or not as cool as it actually is. Because you look at it and you're like, really? Come on, guys.
That would explain the pyramids downtown.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Love
and
the Luxor.
The Sphinx.
The Sphinx. There's no way to talk about our governor.
Well, he is always just sitting there. So.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no politics. Sorry, okay. sorry. So papyrus is made from crushed stems of the cypress papyrus plant. And because it's only one step removed from a plant, the papyrus and the pigments contained upon it can be eaten, can be eaten away by fungal microbes.
Yes, fungus, yeah. I mean, everybody has problems with fungus on their plants.
On their plants.
So I imagine that, yes, if the documents are made from plants, this is going to be an issue.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
So what they decided, what they figured out is they got the wasabi, which is the stuff you put on sushi or that you snort if it's your dad who you convinced that it's actually mint.
Oh, no.
It's the one bad thing I did to my dad.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what is this, mint? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
And then he moved
Dad?
To Mexico. Boy, you did him right.
And then, boy, cleared out his sinuses. He's like, I've never been able to breathe so well. So the team created papyrus sheets and baked them in the oven to simulate years of weathering. And then they exposed the papyrus to microscopic fungi commonly found on ancient scrolls. So then by gradually mixing water and wasabi until it reached a dumpling-like state, they hung the papyrus in such a way as to ensure the fumes from the wasabi lump could cover the whole scroll.
Okay. And how long did this process take?
3 days.
That's very resurrectionist.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. They were like, and then we rolled the stone away.
Yes.
And suddenly
the papyrus came out and said, I am clean.
Our researcher, Mary, was there, and she said,
oh my God, it's Polly Shore.
Do not touch me, for I've not risen. She couldn't touch the papyrus because it had not risen yet.
All right, we're mixing up our stories.
Sorry. So all the pigments and other physical characteristics of the papyrus remained undisturbed, and something within the wasabi vapors increased the scroll's textile strength. Now, a lot of people are like, why do we care about this? And it's because there were so many things that were written on papyrus, and they're starting to oxidize and decay.
Right,
and they're like, well, how are we going to fix this?
Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Yep.
A couple of books of Homer's Iliad.
Sure.
You know,
he had two books. There was Homer 1 and Homer 2, the Homering.
Homer Bound.
Homeward Bound.
Homer
yes.
March.
The Return.
March.
Yeah.
The Vision of Dorotheus is written on papyrus.
Yep.
In, as noted earlier.
And also.
Hexametric poetry.
Which is?
It's like iambic pentameter where you have stressed and unstressed. If you read certain poems by William Wordsworth and Longfellow, he sometimes used the same sort of thing. So it's like it's just the stress and unstressed beats.
Also, it's written on papyrus is written the Will of Nanakht as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's the. Monica had challenged me with about four names. One down.
One down.
Three to go.
Well done, sir. Yes. Well done.
I'm glad that you got all of that and couldn't remember Monica's name.
No. Well, at first I was thinking Jessica, and then I was like...
No, sitting right here.
I'm always thinking about Jessica. That's the problem.
All right, so I want to know how they came up with this process, because picture this. Museum,
I know, we'll treat it like sushi.
Yeah.
Museum supervisor comes back from lunch, and someone on his team is painting Homer's Iliad with a wasabi mixture. And the guy says, no, trust me. I had this wild idea.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of, like, the stories you hear about. How do we decide? How do we come up with a list of the good mushrooms versus the bad mushrooms?
Exactly.
Really?
Because there's probably about 10,000 dead people who tried the wrong mushroom.
Yes, yes.
And then they're like, nope. You know, and there's just one guy going, nope.
Nope. Right. Check
you liked it? What does it taste like? Tastes like
tastes
like
nutty.
Tastes nutty, like chicken. Yes.
Yes.
You know, and then maybe some of them are
did
slow
he live?
Acting. Slow acting. Nope. Let's go back.
All right. Eat them raw. Good. Make a tea. No.
And you know what they wrote that on? They wrote it on papyrus. That's exactly right.
So, speaking of important scrolls,
sure.
Your next story.
Yes, this was directly related to it.
It's scroll week.
It's welcome. It's scroll week. So, 2,000-year-old scroll burnt in Pompeii, decoded and read for the first time by three genius students.
Genius.
Do they have a genius or are they genius? That's the... Didn't we talk about that one time?
I don't think so.
That originally it wasn't you are a genius, it was you have a genius.
Huh.
That you're inspired by something, you're not the inspiration.
We've not talked about that.
Okay.
Although I may just be stupid. not remembering.
Much like Doug not remembering anything.
Never heard of any of this.
It's beat on Doug week.
Beat on Doug day.
You're like, bring it. So the first winner of the Vesuvius Challenge.
Okay.
Which sounds like...
The discoverer of ghost peppers.
Yeah, is this on the Cartoon Channel or
yes,
something like that?
That's right. It's on the Brady Bunch. It was created from the Brady Bunch from one of Peter's experiments.
Yes.
So they sought to inspire young people to use AI technology for once for good to decode burnt scrolls found in a Pompeii library. So what was cool about that was when they discovered these things, the scrolls were all in rolls, right? They're all rolled up.
Yes.
And they were pretty much burnt because, you know, lava does that. and so they couldn't unfurl them.
Right.
Because if they did, it would break up and it would shatter. So they're like, well, what are we going to do? And they said, well, we'll put in cameras and scan all of this.
Get out.
Yeah. And then use AI to kind of guess. But that makes me think, too. What does the AI... Because AI doesn't think for itself. All it does is go, well, what's the... Of all the
what's
times
the most
we've
likely,
seen this happen, what's the next thing after?
Well, I think it has to do with, like, if there are four letters it can read, and you can make up the last three, and
maybe
that
so.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, their skills were able to create a deep learning program that took a rolled up scroll of papyrus, there we are again, that was turned to charcoal, and decode four passages of the 140 characters each with at least 85% of the characters legible. So it is like what you said, where they're like, all right, well, 85% of this says this, so obviously the next thing should be that.
140 characters. They were Twitter?
It was Twitter. excuse me, Doug.
Twitter
X.
Scrolls?
It was X.
X. Oh, yeah. It was X.
It was the X scrolls.
Yeah.
That's the real genius behind Elon, you know, your lookalike.
They buried the promotional stuff in Pompeii?
That's right.
Yeah, smart.
In Pompeii, during Vesuvius, a lot of them got away in their electric cars.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm learning all kinds of great history.
You didn't know that. It's all true.
In a rocket ship to the moon.
That's right.
And then Mars.
But then they ended up landing, and it was in South America. And that's how the pyramids were made in
Austin?
In
downtown?
In Austin. At the Luxor. That's right.
Nice callback.
We're learning so much. So the collection of 800 scrolls was found 275 years ago and represents the only intact library known from the classical world.
So what would the scroll say? Do we know that?
Yes. once again, it was all porn. We all know, Hercules was a dick, that kind of thing. No, it was mostly about daily life and food and art.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was the social column.
Yes.
That was saying.
You'll never believe
you'll
what
never
happened.
Believe what?
Like all the Sumerian tablets they find, thousands and thousands, and most of them are just accounting records.
Yeah, that's right. You're like, Well, this is no fun.
You know, the Vesuvius challenge could also refer to a wasabi eating contest.
Yes. So, yeah. They're like, and then you have a Vesuvius, throw it up yes. onto
or
the
other
things.
End.
Yeah.
You know,
there we go. Pooping it out.
That's it. Well, that is cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Next story. For years, Bill walked 6 miles to work.
Sure he did.
Until she...
In the dark.
Yeah. Both
in, 6 feet in
both
snow.
Ways.
Yeah.
Until she, yeah. there's quotation marks, uh-huh. gave him a lift and started a rideshare service just for him.
Aw.
Yeah.
Just for this guy named Bill.
Yes.
For Mr. Bill.
Mr. Bill. Yeah. Bill. Moskuleski. I got it. Moskuleski. Moskuleski. That I brought it up and I had it.
Moskuleski.
This is the part of bad podcast you wanted to see Brett's face while he was trying to figure it out.
Well, it was just me going, uh-oh. Do I remember
it?
There it
is.
Yeah, there it is. So, Bill Moskuleski.
The speed bump of the story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill Speed Bump. So, he walked 6 miles to work at the local Walmart as a night shift janitor.
Yeah.
But that all changed when the Fire Nation attacked. No.
No.
The day a woman stopped and offered him a ride. So Christy Conrad learned that despite being legally blind, he possessed a steadfast determination to trudge in any kind of weather in order to work. This guy really wanted to work at Walmart.
God love him.
God love him. So I picked him up in 90-degree weather the other morning, she said. And also learned that he used to ride a bike until he got hit by a car.
He got hit by a car?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So first
oh, no,
of all,
Mr. Boo.
He's got to walk to Walmart. Oh, no. But then he was biking and got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
By Mr. Hand. Mr. Hand's. Jacob Hand was in the car.
Here, Mr. Bill, let's give you a ride to Walmart.
No, I think I'm going to be all right.
No,
all
no,
right.
I insist. Boom.
Oh, no. No.
Yes. But Christy had her own family also, and she couldn't always be there. So she started a Facebook group to seek other volunteers who would give him a lift.
And they called that Facebook group what?
What did they call it? Mr. Bill's Village?
Mr. Bill's Village.
That's right. Aww. Soon attracted over 1,000 members who wanted to keep an eye out for the man walking in a camouflage jacket. Okay. All right.
That's just...
Somebody needs to get him a reflective...
He's just asking for
I know.
It. Come on.
It's not like he has to look at the jacket.
And I know, right.
I mean...
He's legally blind.
Yeah, so the group member said it's not like a competition. Who can hit Bill? No. Who can give Bill a ride today?
Oh.
And so that caused more accidents. By the way, this is in Cabot, Arkansas.
That tracks.
Yeah.
And you can take that any way you want.
You know, there's a lot of good people in this world
oh, yeah.
all over the place.
That's it. Yeah.
That's what Bill told Steve Harmon,
mm-hmm.
who was a new CBS crew that came in.
Oh.
If anybody takes anything from this, it would be use the golden rule, treat others the way you would want to be treated, said Christy mm-hmm. on Mr. Bill's Village Facebook page. When you see the need, fill it if possible, which
yeah.
that's all good. That's
yeah.
all good. So then Chris Puckett, the owner of Puckett Auto Group, always some businessman getting
oh,
involved.
Yeah.
He saw a way he could help. He wanted to give Bill a vehicle. Not good to a blind guy.
Yeah.
Not,
no, no.
Not that great of an idea. But
he can park in the handicap parking.
Yep. Exactly. But since he's not allowed to drive, he could use the stick and
right.
run it out the window. The car was donated to Christy, a fitting example of the old adage, it takes a village.
Aww.
Mr. Bill's Village.
That's right.
That's right.
Do you think, as the nighttime janitor, anybody goes up next to Mr. Bill and says, Hey, you missed a spot. No.
Yes.
Yes, they
probably the manager.
Probably the.
It's like, you think you're so great.
Yeah.
And Bill goes, you know, I got a bunch of people giving me a ride to work. I think maybe you need to shut the hell up.
That's right.
Let me do my job.
That's right.
And now he owns Walmart.
That's it.
That's
yes.
what we know.
The end.
The end.
La, 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 la. The ending that we would like to see.
Yes. Let's go to the gray whale. I did not know that the gray whale was extinct or thought to be extinct.
When did this happen? I missed that memo too.
Like last week. Like Shit. Last week they said they're extinct and someone said, hold on.
Wait. We spotted one.
We saw one.
Where?
I think we're seeing a lot of this lately. Like birds suddenly.
Yeah.
Like these things since prehistoric times. Right. Like how do you know? You don't know that. But in this case, actually they thought it was extinct for the last 200 years.
Okay.
They thought they had all, you know, hunted them. Dead.
It's an epic game of hide and go seek.
Yes. He was like,
no one is looking for me anymore. Thank you. Thank you for that. Translation.
Where'd you guys go? I win. Where are my friends? Yeah. So, in an incredibly rare event, the New England Aquarium aerial survey team sighted a gray whale off the New England coast last week, a species that had been extinct in the Atlantic for more than 200 years.
What?
So if they're saying it's extinct in the Atlantic, does that mean that they were all in the Pacific and then they kind of came over?
Yeah, or they went up to the Arctic Circle and around?
Yep.
In the, like, the straits between Alaska and where Sarah Palin can see her house.
Her house from there.
From Russia, yeah.
Yep. The scientists were flying 30 miles south of Nantucket on March 1st, so this is recent, when they sighted an unusual whale. The animal repeatedly dove and resurfaced. There's nothing really unusual about that.
No.
But it was feeding, also not unusual. So the aerial survey plane circled and confirmed their suspicion it was a gray whale. I didn't want to say it out. Yeah, no, wait, I got to get the... Nantucket.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to say out loud what it was, but it seemed crazy, said Orla O'Brien, associate research scientist in the Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life at the New England Aquarium.
Which is a hell of a name.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Or we like to call it a...
A-C-C-O-L. A-C-C-O-L.
A-C-C-O-L. Yeah.
Nua.
My brain was trying to process what I was seeing because this animal was something that should not really exist in these waters.
So, I was expecting coelacanths.
That was research technician Kate Lamy.
Okay.
That's two.
That's two.
That's two.
That's three, actually, because Bill.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you only said once, but.
But it still counts.
Still counts.
Yeah. Lamy. And I thought it was Lamel at first. It's like, no, it's Lamy. Gray whales are regularly found in the North Pacific Ocean and are easily distinguished from other whale species by their lack of dorsal fin.
That's how they knew.
Mottled gray and white skin and the dorsal hump.
He said hump.
Hump. Their dorsal hump. So, but in the last 15 years, there have been 5 observations of gray whales in the Atlantic and Mediterranean waters, including off the coast of Florida, in 2023. I wonder if it's the same one that just went up.
He was vacationing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's December.
It's December.
I think I'll go to Florida.
Florida. I'll be back soon. Don't you worry.
Get me some Florida lobster down there.
Do they suspect that the melting of the Northwest Passage allowed them to go from the Pacific across the Arctic?
It doesn't really say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
It makes sense.
To explain the strange sightings, scientists point to climate change, the Northwest Passage. connects the Atlantic and Pacific through the Arctic Ocean in Canada.
Someone just said that.
Yeah.
At our
Did
you just mention the Northwest Passage? Why, I believe he did.
I do. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
You're not completely useless.
The whipping boy today.
Thanks for showing your worth yet again.
Bite me. Bite me hard.
Very good, does it, Doug?
So the Washington Post, reporting on the sighting, dug up a colonial official's writings from 1729.
Wow.
That described a scrag whale. Oh, that just sounds like a put down.
They're like, change that.
Yeah, it's like
a scrag whale.
Scrag whale. Yeah. S-C-R-A-G.
Scrag. Yeah, scrag whale.
Scrag. That's nothing but a scrag whale.
Yeah, one of those damn.
Off
we can
the
eat
coast
them.
Of Massachusetts, that's the last time a gray whale was sighted in the area. Although they're common off of the coast of California. Have you ever seen a whale? Like live and in person?
I mean, I've seen them at the...
At the aquariums and things.
I think hanging out near Nantucket in 1729 was a bad idea for a whale.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think I saw some off the coast of Oregon.
That makes sense, yeah.
But it was just the, you know, nothing... Nothing big. I didn't get on a boat. It was just...
Right, yeah.
Is that a whale?
Same reaction that I had in Virginia Beach.
Wow.
Where it was kind of like, that is bigger than a dolphin. And it's coming up and spouting things out of its blowhole. By golly, that's a whale. And yes, I was...
Spouting things out of its blowhole, was it?
That's it.
Thought we weren't doing politics.
The election was rigged.
It was the mischievous challenge.
Yes. Not all men. Like, just, God. So I consider great whales to be risk takers, just as Doug said, meaning they show up and feed in places we often don't expect or consider normal, she said. Oh, she said, so... I consider gray whales to be risk takers, meaning they show up and feed in places we don't often expect or consider normal.
So Brett's girl voice is Colonel Sanders?
Yep. I identify as Colonel Sanders. That's what I'm saying.
I'd work on that accent before you audition for Carousel.
Yeah. Yeah. So one more story. Good news for coral reef restoration efforts, which is genuinely good news. Study finds full recovery of reef growth within 4 years, which also makes me, we'll be reading more about this. This isn't all coral reefs. This isn't the barrier reef.
Where?
This is... While the majority of the world's reefs are now under threat or even damaged, potentially beyond repair, a new study reported in the journal Current Biology on March 8th offers some encouraging news in effort to restore coral reefs, not only increase coral cover, sure, but they can also bring back important ecosystem functions and surprisingly fast.
Yeah. Okay, but this comes from a guy from Exeter, United Kingdom.
Okay.
They just don't strike me as the type to be experts on coral reefs. How many coral reefs are there in and around the United Kingdom?
Probably the Dogger Bank.
What's this?
I'm guessing there are a few on the Dogger Bank off the east coast of London.
I stand corrected. I just automatically associate them with tropical fish and that sort
sure.
of thing.
Sure. But, I mean, even in down in the Great Barrier Reef is not in warm water.
It isn't?
No. Isn't that cold water?
No, it's reasonably warm. It's not hot, but it's,
right.
You know, 60 degrees.
Okay. I stand correctly.
It's just northeast of
And yet, neither
Australia.
One of us are standing.
I sit corrected.
I sit corrected.
Yeah, I slouch corrected. The speed that we saw was incredible, she says. Not only we did not expect a full recovery of Reef Framework production for after only 4 years. And so, yeah, Exeter, UK, means that they provide lots of habitat for marine life. Okay, keep going.
And efficiently protect the adjacent island from wave energy and erosion.
Oh, so yeah.
So this was a study done in Indonesia.
In Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of reefs out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, except when they blew them all up for a while there. So you know what? You know the downside of this? That means people haven't really learned their lesson.
Well, I mean, people will take that top line information and go, oh, yeah, they could come right back.
Yeah. It'll be back in 4 years.
Thousands of years in some cases.
Right.
It'll be back in 4 years, you know, like a bad Mexican dinner, you know. Or the Vesuvius Challenge.
I'm sure the next time I go to Taco Bell, it'll be fine. You know what? I don't need to go to Taco Bell. We're going to Poncho's. That's right.
Poncho's, yeah.
Every single time. I'm sorry. We'll talk about that on the Patreon.
Okay. Yes. Can't wait to hear that story.
It's at a continuous network of sand-coated steel structures to consolidate the rubble and offer a structure for transplanting coral fragments. So these are all in the areas that had been, you know, surface blasted, and now they're trying to restore them. So that, I mean, that's good news, you know, because then the species start coming back. As I was reading it, this reminded me of like the wolves, you know, bringing wolves back to Colorado, and how in return it actually helped normalize some of the elk population and all of that. And then rivers started changing to be better run because of all of this stuff, much like the crabs. That helped restore sandbanks. And you're
yes.
like, that's ambitious of those crabs.
Yes.
But it's because of the other stuff that...
They took a tip from the beavers.
That's right. And the beavers. Uh-oh. I think I'm starting to see a theme.
Yes. Animals helping animals.
Yes.
And then they started a Facebook page.
And then they called it the Great White North Facebook page.
It's the original PETA.com. People
That's right.
eating tasty animals.
So it's Lang, who is the person that was one of the people running the thing, said, look, as often is the case, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. But we hope this is a positive example that can be used as inspiration for other reef restoration projects around the world. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have been sinking ships for well over 200 years to
yes.
build reefs.
Yeah.
Oops, we destroyed that one. Let's, here, take this ship. Hope
yes.
you like it.
In World War II, we did a lot of sinking of ships to help build something.
Let's go to Hawaii.
Oh, man. Too soon?
Yeah, too soon. before we get to our song, our closing song,
yes.
Let's talk about how you, the listener, I don't know why I'm pointing at Doug. But
what the hell?
You, the listener, Doug, he's like,
I've heard enough today already.
Please. You're depending on me after beating me up? Go screw yourself, buddy. People like IPoopMyPants.com.
What?
It's one of our Patreon subscribers.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Wow.
IPoopMyPants.com.
God love them.
Yes.
All right.
I encourage.
Great.
Signed up at patreon.com/2beersin. We have many different levels that you can join. Just let us know who you are. It's $3 a month. And you can also get the feed from that site, or you can use the regular feed that we've got. If you pay just $1 more a month, $4 a month, or $5 a month, so it's $2 more. Sorry,
I'm out.
You can get the Patreon episode where we talk about Taco Bell and many things. free range sweet. Issues. That's right. We don't pin up these issues. We leave them free
that's
range.
That's right.
And then there's sponsorship. There's ways if you just want to give us a one-time gift, you can go and use Two Beers In at weightlesspod.com, either on PayPal or Venmo. We know that money isn't real, so you know, give us some money.
It's yeah.
Prove it by giving
cyber
us some money.
Money.
That's right. We appreciate everything that you can spare and give, and we hope to create more content of positive news. Also, Two Beers In at weightlesspod.com is also where you can write if you find some positive stories, or if you know about these things, send it to us.
Right, because we're tired of looking up crap.
Yeah. I don't want to work so hard.
That's right.
You know, I have to come in here with all this equipment.
I know.
Set it up in this bar.
Log it in.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe. We rent a truck every week.
Every single week.
Back it up to the door.
I have to fight with three people to get them to move their cars.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to carry that shit across the street.
That's it.
That's right. Anyway, thank
None
you.
Of that is true, by the way.
Mostly. It's mostly not true. We thank you for listening. Our closing song today is different from what I was originally going to do.
Okay.
But it's this song that I got my friend Martha to dance all happy this weekend. And enough to where I played it. And she goes, play that again. And she started dancing. Everybody else kind of started dancing too. I was chair dancing. You know, where you sit in the chair and you just move your shoulders.
Yes.
And it still counts. It still counts.
Still counts.
Yep.
As steps.
So
sort of.
This is by a very interesting composer named Lewis Cole. He writes, we're relatively sure he is also the inventor of a genre of music called clowncore. Which is absolutely ridiculous. If you are not ready for it, don't go listen to it. It's just really, just look up clowncore and then thank me later. It's hilarious and stupid.
Okay.
But anyway, but he also writes these really cheerful songs. A lot of them have done live in a house, and he's got the band in different parts of the house. In this case, this isn't. This is a quick 2-minute song. It's called Thinking.
Okay.
Before we hit that button and say bye, I'm Brett Weaver. I've been drinking delicious things.
I'm Monica Ballard. I'm drinking a rum and pineapple juice. Doug.
And I'm Doug Fells, and I'm considering hiring a hitman for Brett.
Yep, there we go. Brett, the hitman heart. That's right. All right, everybody. Listen to this. We'll talk to you next week.